There are multiple people that make the services happen, but our tech team in the back, we've got a guy. We got David up in north. We got Robbie. We got Eric, our sound guy. Come on, let's give the tech team a big hand. If you've ever been in a service where all the media stuff got messed up, you really thank God for our tech team. Amen? Amen. We have a great, 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 great church. I'm so honored that you'd be here today. A lot of things happening tonight. Membership seminar, 5:30. If you've never been to our membership seminar, it's a great opportunity for you to get to know our family a little better. And we have dinner together. You get to hear from the staff. I'll share how we got started and where we're going. And it's just a great, great time as a family. Class starts next Sunday. And if you have not gone to the class, I tell you, it is one of the most powerful things that we do as a church to help people along in their journey in the relationship of Christ. And I would encourage you, it's at 10 o'clock, be part of that next week. Well, how many of you are ready today? Come on, say, I'm ready. Okay, you ready to get some Holy Spirit in you today? Amen? Amen. I'm starting a series this morning entitled The Holy Spirit and You. The Holy Spirit and You. And I want you to stand with me this morning as we read our purpose statement. And we're going to do this every week. This is just going to help you kind of get into the mindset that you're not just in watching a concert. You're not just watching a performance, but you're an active participant of a family that's moving and advancing forward in God's purpose. We love this. I believe this is the mission for which I was created, and I also believe it's the mission for which you are created. So we're going to say this all together. Let's say it together this morning. I have a purpose. My purpose is to win souls. I best fulfill my purpose when I'm with other Christians. I will never be satisfied until I'm fulfilling my purpose. I have no promise of tomorrow. Therefore, I will live fully for Christ today. Amen. I came across a little funny. You know, this is last night was the end of Yom Kippur, which is a 3-day fast that the Jewish people do, and High Holy Day. It is the High Holy Day. It's a time of contrition and repentance, and they finish off with a great big party. And so I came across this joke that maybe kind of fit along with the season for our Yom Kippur today. But it says, a priest and a rabbi are in a car crash, and it's pretty bad. Both of their cars are totaled, but neither one of them is hurt. After they crawl out of their cars, the rabbi says, ha, you're a priest. That's interesting. I'm a rabbi. Wow, just look at our cars. There's nothing left to either one of them, but we're unhurt. This must be a sign from God that we should meet and be friends and live together in peace. Oh, the priest replies, yes, I agree. It's a miracle. We've survived and we're here together. And here's another miracle, said the rabbi. My car is destroyed, but this bottle of wine didn't break. Oh, surely God wants us to drink the wine to help celebrate our good fortune. He says, handling the bottle to the priest. The priest nods in agreement and he opens the wine. He drinks half of it and he hands it back to the rabbi. The rabbi takes it and he puts the cap back on. And the priest asks, well, aren't you going to have any? Not right now, says the rabbi. I think I'm going to wait until after the police file the report. Oh, happy Yom Kippur to you today. Amen. Amen. That was bad. I'm going to say, that's bad. All right. If you have a Bible this morning, we're going to turn to three passages of Scripture. But we're going to read Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And I just want you to put your finger right there. Then we're going to turn over to the New Testament. We're going to read John chapter 4. John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 23 and 24. And then we're going to read John 14, verses 15 through 17. If you have your Bibles this morning, I want you to follow along as I read. In Genesis chapter 1, the Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Who created it? God. Amen. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit, everyone say the Spirit. The word of the Hebrew is ruach. Everyone say ruach. That's a good harsh word there. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 23 and 24. Jesus is talking to a woman, and she's had a very difficult life. I mean, she's been married multiple times. She's living with an individual. Her life hasn't been easy. And she encounters Jesus, and Jesus talks to her about a life, a different kind of life that's available to her. It's a life of the Spirit. And John chapter 4, 23, Jesus says, yet a time is coming, talking about worship. A time is coming now when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. For God is spirit. God is spirit, not God is a spirit. God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in spirit and in truth. Now I want you to turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 15 through 17. Jesus now talking about the Holy Spirit in relationship to our life. John chapter 14, we're going to read verses 15 through 17. And the Bible says, "If you love me," Jesus speaking, "keep my commands, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate." Everyone say advocate. The word advocate is parakletos. He will give you an advocate to help you and to be with you forever. The Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the great, great experience that we've already had today. We've acknowledged you. We've worshipped you. We've exalted your Son, Jesus. Jesus, we just want to say thank you for all that you did when you came from heaven's glory. You gave your life for me. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus, you just promised. You said, "I got something better for you. I'm going to give you my spirit. Not just me physically, but I'm going to give you my spirit." And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here. Holy Spirit, we welcomed you and thank you for being here. Give us ears to hear today. Give me a mouth to speak one more time. I ask this, Jesus, in your wonderful name. Amen. You may be seated this morning. Here's my big idea. I want you to get this one concept today. I want you to walk away with this idea today. That the Holy Spirit in you will empower you to be and to do all God has created for you. The Holy Spirit in you will empower you to be and do all He has created for you to do. The Holy Spirit living in you will empower you to be and to do all that God has created for you. For you. Why am I doing this series today? Why am I doing this series? Well, I'm doing this series because I believe that there's a lot of misunderstanding about who the person of the Holy Spirit is. There's a lot of misunderstandings about how the Holy Spirit works and who He is, and a lot of people have wrong concepts and ideas, and I want to address three things this morning as I share with you about the work of the Holy Spirit in our life. First, I want to talk to us about who the Holy Spirit is, who He actually is. And then I want to talk about why so many times we live a spirit-less life. Not a spirit-filled life, but why do we live a spirit-less life? And then I want to talk about the Holy Spirit in you. What the Holy Spirit does and works in your life. The Holy Spirit's working in you. Over the next 4 weeks, we're going to be talking about the person and the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We want to break away some of the mystifying aspects of the Spirit of God and how He works. We want to break away some of maybe the spooky or the weird kind of concepts or ideas that people have. And so this morning, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit in you. Next week, Pastor Glenn's going to share on being filled with the Holy Spirit. How to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then I'm going to speak to you on the gifts of God's Spirit. See, God's created you, and the Bible says that He gives gifts to you. God gives gifts to His children because He's a good Father. And then we're going to talk about walking in step with the Holy Spirit in our life. But this morning, I want to talk to you about the Holy Spirit in you. I don't know about you, but I've had this thought before. I've had this thought, and I just wish Jesus was right here with me right now. I mean, in flesh and blood. Anybody ever have that thought before? I mean, yeah, you're going through something, and you're just like, you know, Jesus, could you just explain what you just said there to me? I'd like to hear, you know, from your own words. Anybody ever had that thought before? I mean, and most Christians actually, you know, if you really kind of press them a little bit, you know what, if I could just see Jesus and touch Jesus and I could just have a meal with Him, I'd ask Him I got a few things that I need to know. I mean, if you really think, hey, I'd love to see, you know, when Jesus broke a couple pieces of bread and a few fish and He fed thousands of people. I mean, I would love if He was just right there with me. But you know what? The fact is, He is right here. If you had that option, or you had the option of God's Spirit living in you, most people tend to lean towards actually seeing Jesus. It's just the way that we're wired. But Jesus said, they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And this is what Jesus actually said. He said, you know what? It's actually advantageous for me to go away. It's actually better for you that I leave this planet because I got something better. I have my Spirit that's going to come and live inside of you. I am a man, although I'm fully God, and as flesh and blood, I can only be with you at one time. But my Spirit can be with you at all times. And He'll never leave you, and He'll never forsake you. See, the Holy Spirit here today, He's with us. My experience with as a child growing up in the church. And I've said this before, but I was one of those drug babies. You know, I was drugged to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. I was drugged to church whether I wanted to go, or not go. I mean, I was going to church. There's some maybe here today. Maybe you've been drugged to church. You were compelled to go. Maybe your wife was nudging. I remember my father, when he was struggling with his relationship with God, he would just like drag and drag. And my mom would just be standing there waiting. And she'd be just, you know, come on, let's go. We got to go. I don't know why you're here today. I don't know why you're here. But I do know today that God wants you to hear something. God wants you to hear something this morning very clearly. That the Holy Spirit is God. When I was a little boy, I remember in a church service, I knew when it was getting Holy Ghost moment because there was a certain atmosphere. You know that atmosphere we just sang about? But that atmosphere was Sister Beulah. Because Sister Beulah would start to have a Holy Ghost moment, and it would go something like this. It would start to be a little shake, and then it was, ha! And I mean, ooh! I knew that the Holy Spirit was in that place when Sister Beulah had her moment. And then every once in a while, Sister Beulah was my mama. And when my mama had that moment, I would just crawl under the pew. I remember that thinking, that was my concept of a Holy Ghost moment. That was my concept of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes because of maybe abuses or what people think or wrong understandings, I actually listened to a very well-known Bible teacher this week. I mean, a phenomenal communicator of the truth of God's Word. Stand up and say, he did not believe the gifts of the Holy Spirit were for today. And he was adamant and he was forceful. I'm like, wow. I felt so sad for the people that were under his teaching because he was limiting them. He was limiting what God wanted to do in them, through them, so that they could do things with greater power than they could on their own. You know, the fact is, people have all kinds of concepts and ideas about who the Holy Spirit is. But the Holy Spirit in Scriptures portrayed to us in a very clear manner. He's God. He's God. I read a preacher this week that preached a whole message on the person of the Holy Spirit. He talked about His attributes. He talked about what He does in human lives. And He never mentioned His name once. You know why? Because He was afraid. He was afraid that people couldn't understand. He was afraid of maybe some of the things that have happened in churches that have been abusive, that they would creep into his church. And he was afraid to even mention the person of the Holy Spirit. You know, Jesus said, he blows like a wind. There seems to be a mysterious aspect to the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. I mean, even in our culture today, you know, the old Star Wars. You remember Luke Skywalker? He said, the Force be with you. Remember that? The Force be with you. Force. Well, the Holy Spirit's not a force. That's conceptually in many people's minds. They think of the person of the Holy Spirit as being a force. Maybe, you know, grew up like I did, and I've heard people in the church say, I got it. You know, they got the Holy Ghost. You have a Holy Spirit moment, and God just fills you. You say, I got it. The Holy Spirit isn't an it. He's not an it. It's not. He's not spooky. The Holy Spirit even isn't just that warm, fuzzy feeling that you felt this morning as we were declaring, God, fill this room with your atmosphere. Although that can be the work of the Holy Spirit. Last night we had a prayer meeting. We had about 30-some people in here, and it was powerful. But I couldn't feel it. I could see people being visibly moved. We were praying for people. We were calling upon God. And there was just a powerful presence as the intercessors met last night, and we prayed for the service. But I didn't feel it because I don't go by my feelings as a believer today. I go by my faith. The Bible says the just live by faith. And what I know and believe is that the Holy Spirit is here to do good to you. He's here for you. So the Holy Spirit works in our lives, and I want to tear away some myths or maybe some misconceptions or understandings. He's not just a force. He's not a ghost. He's not even safe. The Holy Spirit isn't safe. He's not safe. As a matter of fact, the moment the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, things change radically, drastically. As a matter of fact, He was the God of creation. He was there at the very beginning. And the Bible says the earth was out without form and it was void. And then the Spirit of God came. And what happens? Bam! There is disorder. Now there's order. There is no creation. Now there is creation. You gotta tell me there was some noise around there. Right? When mountains are popping up and oceans are being formed and however all that's taking place throughout the universe and the galaxies and the world, I gotta tell you, I gotta believe there was some noise taking place. I mean, it couldn't have been safe at that moment. That's why there was nobody alive. the Holy Spirit isn't safe in our life. He's not safe. If you fail to realize the person and the work of the Holy Spirit in your life, you will live far below for which the purpose for which God has created you. You'll live far below. You'll live in defeat. You'll live in discouragement. I've seen it so many times. You see, the fact is, the Holy Spirit has been given to give you life. He's here today to give you life so that you can live free. It's the motto of Wide Open Church, to live free. We don't have to live bound up by the distractions of this world. We don't have to live a life that's in chaos and disorder and frustrated and discouraged. No, the Holy Spirit has come to give you a supernatural life. Jesus said it like this: the Holy Spirit has come to give you abundant life. Everyone say abundant life. In the Hebrew, the word is rach. The word rach literally means a violent exhalation or a blast of breath, a wind, the breath of God. The breath of God in Genesis 1:26, God breathed into man. God breathed into Adam. He breathed life. Breathed life. Life. He's the God of life. In the New Testament, the word is pneuma. It's a current of air. It's a blast of breath. The way that you can picture this in your mind is that we have the Father in heaven, the God who created all. As Jesus spoke of our Father, when He prayed to the Father. And Jesus Himself, being fully God, seated at the right hand or the place of the Father, came in the form of human man. He walked among us. He was fully God and fully man. But then there was the breath of God. That's the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit of God. He's the one who lives in us and He dwells in us. And as the Holy Spirit, He's a person. He has a will. He has emotions. He has feelings. He has feelings. He can be lied to, but He can also be obeyed. The Holy Spirit of God, according to the Scriptures, is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's all-powerful. He was there at the beginning. David said He's omnipresent. The word omnipresent means He's everywhere all the time. In Psalms 139, David beautifully describes the work of the Holy Spirit. And he says, I can go to the lowest depths of hell, and His Spirit is there. I can climb to the highest mountain, and His Spirit is there. You see, the Spirit of God is present. He's everywhere. He's not just someplace, but He's in here for those who believe. He is the Spirit of Almighty God. He was involved in the beginning with man's creation. Peter says it like this. He says, this Scriptures that we have, they came about because holy men of old were breathed upon by the Holy Spirit. They were moved by the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit is the author of these Scriptures. He breathed upon men. He's actively at work in our world. He's doing things that, listen, are incredible. The Holy Spirit is not in it. He's the person of God that lives in us. He's the person of God that we can put our faith and our trust in as we receive Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Who is the Holy Spirit today? He's God. He's your God. Who is the Holy Spirit today? He's your friend. He is your friend. The word parakletos in the Greek literally means, the word Spirit, parakletos, literally means helper. That's what it means. He's your helper. He's your friend. He's for you. And if the Holy Spirit is for you, who can be against you this morning? So if the Holy Spirit is for us, why do sometimes all of us live a spiritless life? Why do we? I mean, come on. There's no one in this room that all the times lives a Spirit-filled life. Don't kid yourself. We were at the dinner table a couple of weeks ago with my family, and we have one of those family, we call them squabbles. Anybody have a family squabble around the dinner time? Anybody here beside our family? And, you know, it was getting a little tense. And all of a sudden, you know, mom serves the food, or maybe we're having a hard time. Maybe the squabble is because we're having a hard time getting the food on the table. And then we always join hands. We join actually pinkies when we pray around our table because we don't know where the hands have been. So when it's time to join pinkies, I mean, we've been squabbling, I mean, you know. We've been squabbling. It's time to pray, and guess what? No one wants to pray. Why is that? Why is it not God? We're like, we don't feel the Holy Ghost at that moment, isn't that right? We're living a Spirit-less life at that moment. There are reasons that people don't live the Spirit-filled life, some practical reasons. The first reason is some people don't even know there's a Holy Spirit. They're not even aware of Him. In Acts chapter 19, Paul met some people who had believed in Jesus. And he came to them and he said, "Hey guys, listen, have you heard of the Holy Spirit?" They said, we don't even know who He is. Well, what are you talking about? Yeah, we believe in Jesus, but we've never heard of this Holy Spirit. I mean, so many churches are afraid to even mention and talk about the person of the Holy Spirit. Some people have no idea who He is, what He does, how He changes us. I was, a couple of years ago, I had the honor of riding first class. I've never bought a first class ticket in my life, but one of the brothers was very kind, and he took us, we went on a trip, and he bought a first class ticket for me. It was my first experience in first class. And, you know, I'm one of those guys, usually when I walk in the plane, I usually take a right, you know, to the back of the bus, you know, talking about take a right. And the back of the bus plane experience is always a very unique experience. And as I get older, flying gets more challenging and more difficult because everybody's trying to squeeze everything they own into one suitcase, right? So and then guys are wearing like five jackets, you know what I'm talking about? They're wearing like five jackets. They got everything shoved into one suitcase that won't fit in that overhead bin. And so you got steward and stewardesses and they're frustrated. And when you sit down, peanuts, forget peanuts. You want a glass of water? You got to be kidding me. That's $10. And they're now with their little swipers and they're ready with their credit cards. You went, what? And that'll be, you're like, oh man, where's the free drinks? You know, where's the hospitality? Get back there. But if you take a left, you take a left and go through that curtain, there's a whole nother world. I mean, the stewardess, she is smiling. I mean, and when you go to sit down, she goes, "Hello, Mr. Smith." And she takes the little napkin because they pull the napkin out and they put it across. "Would you like something to drink, sir?" They don't bring you paper cups or plastic cups in first class. They bring you real glass. I mean, and then comes the dinner. Oh, when they break the dinner, it is hot and piping and they got real silverware. There's a whole nother world I knew nothing about. First class flying. I'd like to do a little more of that sometimes. And I mean, it's almost how most Christians live. Most Christians live second class. And God has created you as His child. We talked about it last week in Breakthrough, a God of Breakthrough. He's created us to people of destiny and purpose to live Spirit-filled, empowered lives. But we just don't know it. I mean, sometimes we live spiritless lives because we grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle said, don't grieve the Holy Spirit. And then he says, you know how you grieve the Holy Spirit? By your actions. By using abusive language, cursing people out, living a sensual life, viewing pornography. I mean, he just goes right down the list. The things that cause the Holy Spirit who's in you to be grieved. I mean, he's really clear about it. He says, don't do that. But this is what he does say. He says, listen, he says, make every effort to keep yourself united with the Spirit. See, God has done His part. God has done His part. God's come. When you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, His Spirit has come inside of you. Now, you have choices to make. You have choices to make. But here's the deal with the choices, what's so cool. You're not on your own even on the choices. You're not just making the choices by your own power. It's His Spirit in you. It's His Spirit that's in you that enables you to make those choices. You see, today, the Holy Spirit is here. We can grieve Him. We can quench Him. We can just stifle what He's doing in our lives. Paul says, don't quench the Holy Spirit. Don't quench. Then he goes, rejoice always. He says, don't complain. Don't complain, but rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in everything. Now you quench the Holy Spirit, you complain instead of praise. Just do a little test sometime. Just start talking, you're Republican, start talking about a Democratic president. And if you're a Democrat, start talking about a Republican senator. Just how you feel about them. Just start expressing your love, I mean your animosity about that individual. I mean, just really go like most people do in our culture because we have freedom of speech. We can say whatever we want to say. Just start talking really negative about a person in authority. And then I want you to turn around. I want you to turn around and you see a person coming through the door and you know that they don't know Jesus and the Holy Spirit tells you to share faith with them. God, there's no way. You can't do it. You know why? Because you're spiritless. You've been complaining. You've been murmuring. You've been talking, oh, come on. We're starting to meddle a little bit here, but this is exactly what happens. It's exactly what happens in our life. We're complaining and whining and I got to tell you, you never know what's going to happen in your life. My wife walks a lady into my office on Friday, and she has her right thumb, and it's completely dead. I don't know exactly what happened, but the doctors are going to have to amputate it. And I got to tell you, I have a choice to make at that moment. I mean, I could, oh, my, what am I going to, hey, let me go fast and pray here for a couple of weeks, and let me think about how I'm going to pray over you. Or if I'm walking in the Spirit, I'm going to have to pray. And you think, oh, you think it's easy. I'm a pastor. All I got to do is sit in the Holy of Holies. And I got to tell you, man, it ain't like that at all around here. This place is a busy place. And it's a fun place, but there are lots of things. And I'm not always thinking holy thoughts. I got to tell you that. It doesn't work like that. I'm a human. I'm just like you. I got the same challenges. And I have people, relationship issues that I work through. One moment I have to say, who am I dependent upon? Who am I going to pray for? I'm not the healer, so to me, older I get, the easier it is to depend on the Holy Spirit, because I know I can't do anything. So I said, bring him on. Dead thumb, let's see what Jesus will do. Let's just pray. So in the middle of my day, I have a distraction and a moment. But I got to tell you, if my wife and I had just been fighting, it never happens, but it does happen occasionally. We have moments in our family, and then I have to, it's very challenging. Very, very challenging. Sometimes we fail to depend upon the Holy Spirit. Our tendency, our human tendency, is to depend upon our own strength. It's up to me! If it's going to be, it's up to me! We depend upon our own strength. And we depend upon our own power. And when we start to live like that, we start to live by the flesh. And the way you know you're living by the flesh is that you're easily agitated and irritated. The way that I know that I'm walking in the flesh is that I become easily irritated and agitated at people, situations, and life. I'm not dependent on the Holy Spirit. I'm not viewing things from God's perspective. The fact is today, God is completely in control of your life. And He gives His Spirit to you. And the Spirit that lives in you enables you to live a life, the supernatural life, a life of self-control. A life where you can keep, you don't just have to fly off your handle. You know, I've got an issue in my life. I was born this way. You know, I'm red hair and I just can't, I mean, it's just the way, you know, red hair people, they just like to get angry, you know. I have this sexual issue. I have a proclivity to a certain sexual orientation. I was born that way. And I'm like, yeah, whatever. But just because you're born that way, we're all born that way. We're all born sinners. But we're all, by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, when we come to accept Him as our Savior, we're changed. We're new creations. We're no longer having proclivities towards this way of life. Now God saves us. And His Holy Spirit doesn't want us to live a spirit-less life, but a Spirit-filled life. We can resist the Holy Spirit. You can resist the Holy Spirit. You push Him away. I beg of you today, don't resist the Holy Spirit. I've seen it happen so many times. So many times people will be in a church service. I was in a church service. And we used to hand out notes in our church service. You fill in the blanks. I don't do that anymore because I hardly ever finish the blanks. So we don't do that anymore. And the woman didn't agree with what was being preached. She took the note right there in the service and just crumpled up like this. That's what she did. Just threw it on the ground. Bam. Wow. Resist. I don't want to hear that. I don't agree with that. I don't believe that. I don't accept that. When I was young, very young Christian, probably less than 6 months in the faith, my home church had a big presentation. And we had a family friend. He was a 19-year-old young Marine, just got into the Marines. And he was home in between whatever he was doing. And we were having a special service. And it was on a Sunday night. And I went over and invited him to church. And he came. I remember he walked in the door. And he was wearing his military fatigues. And he came. And we were sitting somewhere back over here where Angela's at. We were sitting over there. And he came. And he sat down next to me. And the altar call was given. I went forward. I was an altar worker. And I went forward. And he came right behind me, not too much longer. As I was sitting at the altar, I turned around, I looked at him, and I said, Billy, are you ready to give your life to Jesus? I will never forget these words as long as I live. He looked me in the eyes and he says, I'm not ready yet. He literally got up from that place and he walked away. And he walked away, I felt terrible. I did everything I knew to do. I tried to convince him. So he wasn't rejecting me. He was resisting the Holy Spirit. 3 days later, a 16-year-old girl that had been his girlfriend, she'd got jilted or whatever had happened. She'd asked him for a ride. He picked her up. She made him pull behind a 7-Eleven. She pulled a gun out of her purse, and she shot him in the head and killed him dead. I mean, that's an extreme example. But I got to tell you, that happens. That happens spiritually in our life. When we resist the Holy Spirit, something inside of us dies. A hunger for God, a desire to go to church, a desire to serve. Something happens inside of the hearts of people when they resist the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is in you today. And this is what He's doing in you today. This is what He's done for you. I want you to hear this today. The Holy Spirit is the reason that you're born again. The reason that you are born again today is because of the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle said it like this. He said, He has saved us. He has saved us. Not on the basis of our good deeds, which we've done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing and regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit. By the washing and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. The most influential person in my life. The person who's brought about the greatest change. The person that was speaking to me and dealing with me. It wasn't my mama. All that she was trying to do those things. I stayed far away from her when I wasn't serving God. I mean, you know, the person that had the greatest impact on my life when I was out living for myself was the Holy Spirit. I mean, it was the Holy Spirit that was making me realize that I was missing something, that my life wasn't all that it could be. It was the Holy Spirit in me that was speaking to me that I needed to deal with that issue with my wife. It was the Holy Spirit that was speaking to me that was saying, you know what, you need to work with your son in this area. You need to be gentler with your boy. It was the Holy Spirit that was speaking to me that said, you know what, Eugene, you got to change in this area with your staff person. You're not treated in the way that God wants you to treat them. It was the Holy Spirit in me. When there's been times and seasons of change, it has always been my friend, the Holy Spirit, who made me born again, that was the greatest influence in my life. See, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, He frees you from sin. I love Romans. I love the book of Romans. But Romans chapter 7, I identify with. I identify with Romans chapter 7 because it's Paul's great struggle with his flesh. We all have this. Guys, if you have blood, if I cut you today and you would bleed, you got to struggle with your flesh. You got to struggle with anger. You got to struggle with lust. You got to struggle with overeating. I mean, I don't care who you are. You're in this room. There is something that you wrestle with in your life. It's called the flesh. But we're not people of the flesh. We're born of the Spirit. And Spirit births Spirit. We're washed with the water and the Spirit. You see, spiritual people don't live now that old way of life. And when we do live that old way of life, we instantly run to the Savior and we receive our forgiveness. And you know why we receive forgiveness? Because we have been freed. Romans chapter 8 says, now therefore there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. But listen, it's not just that He freed me, but listen, Jesus came and belonged to me and gave me the power of life. It was His giving Spirit that freed me from the power of sin and death. It was His Spirit. He freed me. How does He free you? How does He free you today? How does He free you? You see, because Jesus said, I must go away, but my Spirit will come. The activity and the work of the Holy Spirit when Jesus was raised from the dead, that's what caused Jesus to conquer. Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave because of the Spirit. Paul says that in Romans 8. He says that it was the power of God's Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. And He lives in you. You see, Jesus was a conqueror. That's why you're a conqueror. Jesus was a victor. That's why you're a victor. Jesus was a champion. That's why you're a champion. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is in you. He's changing you. He's changing you. He's making you into the image of what Christ is, His glory. Paul says to the church at Corinthians, so all of us who had the veil removed, that old way of living, we used to just see pain and suffering. We used to just see a world perspective. We used to think in the world's way, but that veil has been removed. And now we can reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord who is the Spirit, Jesus who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like Him as we were changed into His glorious image. You're being changed. It's a process. I mean, so many times we want things to be instantly changed in our life. But what I have found I have found it's not instant perfection. It's not instant perfection, but it's a process. We are instantly free, but there's a process of changing that God is doing in your life. I look around our church. I see the young people on the stage. I watch people come in. There's a young woman that I watched just recently come into our church, and she's gotten saved. And I mean, I've watched this dramatic. It is radically dramatic. I mean, it is amazing. And let me tell you, where she's come from and where she is today, you might look at her, well, you know, there's still stuff. And it, yeah, but let me tell you, I mean, I know where she came. I saw where she came from. And I see that where she is now. And I just got to say, God was changing her. He's changing you. He's changing you. See, here's the cool thing. Here's the really cool thing about the Holy Spirit. That is, He's praying for you right now. He's praying for you right now. The Holy Spirit's praying for you. He's praying for you. Paul the Apostle, Romans chapter 8, says it like this. He talks, put this verse up on the screen. He talks about how the Holy Spirit prays for us. He intercedes for us. He says, and the Spirit helps us in our weakness. He helps us in our weakness. For we don't know how to pray or what to pray. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us. The Holy Spirit, He's your friend. He's your friend. And He's praying for you. He's here today to help you. And how He helps you is He fills you with power. He endues you. He empowers you. He empowers you to live victoriously. That's how the Holy Spirit helps you. He gives you His power. The word power, when Jesus said in Luke 24, He'll fill you with the Holy Spirit and with power. The word power there is literally the word for dynamite. It's dunamis. It's miraculous. Supernatural. There's something that happens inside of your spirit. I love to call it the aha moment. When you get the aha moment in your life, you don't have to live like this any longer. That's the Holy Spirit. He's filled you with power today. He's filled you with power. That's what He wants to do for every person. Every one of us today. The Holy Spirit is your friend. I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes. The Spirit of God is here today. The Holy Spirit is here today. See, when the Holy Spirit empowers us, He enables us to live a life above and beyond our own natural abilities and strength. We have a flesh, yes, but we're not people of the flesh. The moment you accept Christ, you become a person of the Spirit. I want every person to close your eyes. You're here today. You are here today. And you're not sure that the Holy Spirit's your friend. You're not really sure. You're not really sure that you've allowed the Holy Spirit to come into your heart. You know, I just got to make this really clear. You'll know it. The moment that you allow, you invite Christ to come into your life and His Spirit comes inside, the moment you do that, you know it. You'll know that, you'll know, you know. I want you to know that before you leave this place, you can know it. Maybe you're a believer here today. I don't know about you. I had, just a couple of weeks ago, I had a moment. I was just feeling leaky, man. I was just drained, feeling empty. I needed a touch. I needed a touch of the Holy Spirit. I remember in a worship service, I was just worshiping. It was God once again by His mercy just coming to me. Oh God, I need You to fill me. Just remember that fresh. Maybe you already experienced some measure of it today. Maybe there's some issue of your life that you haven't been able to overcome. And God said, listen, you don't have to. You don't have to struggle in that issue. You don't have to keep going to that. My power is here. But you got to depend on Him. You got to trust Him today. You got to completely trust and completely surrender. Maybe that's you today. I want everyone to stand with me this morning. I believe that God's speaking to us. I want you to ask that question. What is the Holy Spirit saying to me today? What is the Holy Spirit saying to you? Is there an area of your life that needs a change? I mean, is there something in your life that you know that you're not exactly, I mean, you know, you've struggled and worked through it. Maybe you haven't even cared. And all of a sudden, right now in this room, the Holy Spirit is speaking to you. And you know that you need to change. Or maybe you're here today and you don't know. You don't know that the Holy Spirit is your friend. You don't know that. In just a moment, I'm going to give every person an opportunity. Every person an opportunity to experience the power, the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit in their life. Maybe for some of you, it'll be for the very first time. For others of you, I believe it'll be another infilling, another touch, another sense of the presence of God enabling you supernaturally. I don't know. But right now, if you're one of those two people that I just spoke about, you don't know the Holy Spirit, your friend. And you know this morning that you need the Holy Spirit. You're a believer. You know that you need. You've leaked. You got some things. You need the Holy Spirit to help you change. He is your helper. If that's you, I'm going to count to three. I want you to raise your hand. One, two, three. Right now, raise your hand. Come on. All across this room. The Holy Spirit is here right now. Tom's going to begin to softly sing this song. We're going to welcome the Holy Spirit. And you raise your hand. You raise your hand. There's going to be some altar workers in the front. But you raise your hand this morning. I want you to come. I want you to take that next step. Go ahead. You can take that next step. Go and activate your faith. I believe that as you move forward this morning, God is going to meet you in your point of need. Come on. Let's come to the altars this morning. Let's meet the Lord.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Don't fill this place with the atmosphere.
Come on.